Hello! From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and we saw the best half of basketball that West Virginia has played this season today. Is that due to the quality of opponent? You could argue that. Is a good half of basketball a good half of basketball? Yes, it is. Especially offensively, that's the best West Virginia has looked this season. 22-point halftime lead over the Lehigh Mountain Hawks. And then the Mountaineers were able to maintain that lead to finish 69-47 over Lehigh, and West Virginia's 3-0. Now, to compare how Lehigh did versus the Houston Cougars and the West Virginia Mountaineers, did West Virginia have a larger lead at halftime versus Lehigh than Houston did? Yes, they did. Did West Virginia do better against Lehigh in the second half of today's game than how Lehigh did in the second half against the Houston Cougars? Yes, they did. So can you take those two questions and answers to those questions and say that West Virginia is in fact better than Houston at this point of the regular season? And I'm not going to confirm or deny that. I just want you to do with that information whatever you will. But those are questions and answers that are true. Now, the first half, best half. Second half, not the best half. The two guys from WVU scored in double figures, and they were the starting bigs. It was Brennan Laurent, and it was Harlan Obioha, the two guys that scored in double figures. Laurent had a career day. In his third career start in college, he finished with 26 points, 11 of 15 shooting. His previous scoring high was 20, so he blew past that, scored 26, had 7 rebounds, 3 of 4. He took his first 4 three-pointers of the season. He made 3 of them. And I've told you about this on the podcast. He shot 50% last year, didn't shoot a ton of threes. First two games, shot 0 threes. Today, shot 4 of them. He's 75% from 3 on the season. Awesome to see. Hey, Brennan, definitely mix in some threes moving forward. Hey, man, you're shooting over 50% over the last two seasons from 3. Put some more up. Go for it. And there was a play in the second half that I watched it a couple of times because it just, the athleticism of Laurent, he can do the punching bag arcade block. He did not have any today. He did have 3 steals. But there was a play in the second half where Obioha gets it around the foul line, a high-low pass down to Laurent. So he lobs it up to him. And you remember Slam Ball, the ill-fated sport where there was trampolines? It was like basketball with trampolines. What's better than a regular dunk? How about a trampoline dunk and also a guy on a trampoline trying to block the dunk? Super dangerous, didn't take off. But I had Slam Ball vibes when Brennan Laurent jumped in the air like he was on a trampoline to catch the pass from Obioha, landed on 2 feet. The court, it did not look like a trampoline. It looked like the regular Hope Coliseum court. But he sprung back up. It looked like he bounced off a trampoline and in another jump, dunked the basketball. And he was kind of, his body was not facing the rim when he caught the ball. It was almost like he caught it with his shoulders facing the baseline and then just side bounced and dunked the ball. It was awesome. If you haven't seen it more than once, please do so. I was blown away by that play. This guy is awesome, and he's so athletic, and 3 games in, he has been the most consistent guy for the Mountaineers this season. Harlan Obioha, he led the team in rebounding with 8. Did way better today from the free throw line, made 6 of 7. He finished with 12 points. And West Virginia was out-rebounded in the first two games. Today, they were plus 13 in rebounding. So that's a good thing. Amir Jenkins still has the gigantic shoulder thing on, but he got his first made baskets of the season, including a three-pointer late in the second half. So he filled the stat sheet today, both good and bad. Great that he's on the board as far as made shots. Had 3 turnovers, got a little dribble happy at different points during the game. Trayson Eagles-Staff, 3 turnovers, did not have a great performance. Jasper Floyd, better control today with the ball than the Campbell game. But not a ton to pull from this game, other than if you wanted to pull from the fact that West Virginia did better in the first half than Houston did against Lehigh and did better in the second half than Houston did against Lehigh. Again, I'm not reading too much into that. Houston is number 1 in the country and West Virginia is not. And that's how that should be. I agree with that. One opponent, it just read into it what you'd like. But now we're 3 games in and now we're only 2 games away from Chance Moore joining the fray. Jackson Fields will not be playing in the next game, but sounds like he's participating fully in simulated games or in practice, not playing with the starters yet, but he's on the path to getting back to playing. But with this group of guys that are available and these 3 games, what has been the kind of consistent things that we can pull from based on who we've seen play for the Mountaineers? And there's good and bad as far as consistency. Let's start with the good. Outside of the second half versus Campbell, I'd say that the defense has been overall pretty good. Double-digit turnovers forced in all 3 games. 0 opponents have shot over 40% yet. And of the 2 sides of the ball, which is further ahead, you'd have to say defense. The other thing that is consistent, and that's been a trend for WVU, has been the pace of play. Behind closed doors, West Virginia is the roadrunner. They scored 95. And it made me think, is Ross Hodge with this group going to play, you know, a little bit faster than his North Texas teams, which were near the bottom in Division I in tempo? When the doors are open, they're playing like a Ross Hodge team in pace. Currently 364th in tempo, only ahead of Iowa, who was where Ben McCollum is at, was in the mix to get hired at WVU in the offseason. But yeah, they are not, spoiler alert, not going to be faster. Definitely playing to Ross Hodge's tendencies as he was in North Texas. They're playing slow. They're playing methodical. So those are 2 consistent things. I guess pace is, I don't know if that's good or bad. It just is. Unfortunately, I've got more in the bad consistent so far. And the bad consistent has been on the offensive side of things. And really, outside of the first half today, West Virginia has not shot the ball well yet. And they haven't shot the ball well from anywhere on the floor, any kind of shot. They're 68% from the free throw line, which is below average. That's bottom half of Division I. West Virginia shooting 33% from 3 as a team. And Brennan definitely helped the cause today. But the guys coming in and playing, the transfers that were expected to be 3-point snipers, Honor Huff, Trayson Eaglestaff, Morris Ugasuk, those 3 are combined 13 of 43 from 3. That's 30%. And 2 of those guys, Huff and Ugasuk, shot over 40% from 3 last season. So not great. And maybe those guys are saving the threes for the high major opponents that are coming up. But typically, in my head, you're going to shoot better against the Lehighs and against the Mount St. Marys than you are against the Pittsburghs and the Clemsons and the Ohio States and the Big 12 opponents. So if they get better, and if they are saving them, that would be the exception to the rule. And the rule would be they're actually going to shoot worse. I don't think that's going to happen, given Honor Huff's pedigree, especially because of those three guys, the guys who's shooting the most threes is Honor Huff. He's letting them fly. They just aren't going in yet. Today he was, I believe, 2 for 8 from three, but he's ripping them. They're just not going in. So if that gets better, it's going to be because of Honor Huff, because of how many threes he shoots a game. So there's a chance it'll get better. But the most consistent thing I've seen so far in three games is the difficulty this team has scoring in the paint. Especially, you know, they run some good offense and get some open looks near the basket. And this isn't really aimed as much as at the bigs like Laurent, like Obi Oha, DJ Thomas. It's more of the guards. When they're near the basket, they're just having a hard time finishing, especially through contact. Where we watched that Campbell second half, we're getting pushed, WVU's getting pushed around. And on the other side, where West Virginia has the opportunity to push teams around, they can't do it. The ball is short. They're not getting the ball in the basket from up close. Multiple missed dunks. We're three games in, plural missed dunks. And West Virginia is currently 207th in Division I in two-point percentage, which is below average. And that, from the eye test and the stats test, that's the consistent thing. I think that can improve, especially with a guy like Chance Moore, who lives in the paint, is driving at all times, and shoots a good percentage from close to the basket. He is absolutely going to help the cause there. I don't know about Jackson Fields. I feel pretty strong about Chance Moore helping the cause. But those are the consistent things. Three games in, three wins. That's absolutely what matters. The computers were more pleased by today's performance than the first two performances of the season. And what you don't want is a loss in a bye game. And West Virginia avoided that. They're 3-0. We're here. It's the holiday shopping season. And Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. You go to their website. They've got high-quality products, often handmade, lots of it made in the U.S. I go on there, I type in WVU. They got stuff for Mountaineer fans. I got a couple of Mountaineer can-shaped glasses. Rave reviews at the house. People love them. Oh, that's cool. Where can you get that? You can get it at Uncommon Goods. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All right, let's open the mailbag. If you're not in the Smoking Musket Discord, join. There's a link in the show notes. But the guys at West by Pod, Jordan and Joel, they ask questions in the Discord chat for each episode of West by Pod. Somebody asked, hey, can Josh do that? Yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll answer your questions. So we're going to, these are questions from the basketball Discord channel for Smoking Musket. And let's get started. Now, the first two questions are about the Hodge being rossed. Bill asks, what care should I take for my Hodge since I'm rossing it so much? And Toltec asked, are we in danger of chafing from rossing our Hodges so hard all off season? I don't know what that means. That I know WVU's basketball coach is Ross Hodge. But this terminology that you're using, I don't understand it. It sounds like a medical issue. This is not a medical podcast. So I recommend that you know, if it's an emergency, call 911. But if not, talk to your primary care physician. Run that by them and see, you know, what they say. I can't give you advice there. Slaw asks, how was the off-ball defense? This is very important to Slaw. And what I tell Slaw, and I've already told him in one of the games, Ross Hodges' off-ball defense is solid. There's always, when somebody's driving baseline, there's always somebody in the middle ready to greet him. And guys are in passing lanes. We're getting deflections, I'm not on the team. They're getting steals. The off-ball defense is solid through three games. Let's see what it looks like against high major opponents. But in the bye games, off-ball defense, very solid. Knight676 asks, how worried should I be that this team doesn't really look ready for Big 12 play? Also, what do you see the biggest difference is as to why it looked like DeVries' team was more ready than it seems like this team is? Is it really all down to his son and that transfer last year? Thank you, Knight676, for not naming names in the last question, but you got a lot of questions there. Does this team look like it's ready for Big 12 play? They do not. They've got some improving to do. They got some guys out. What it looks like now, hopefully, isn't what it looks like when Big 12 play rolls around. So worried, let's not even worry based on Thursday's result, because if we're looking at last season, the backyard brawl game, you left that one feeling worried, right? Based on the result, or you could have felt worried. And then West Virginia went 500 in the Big 12 during the regular season and should have participated in a postseason. DeVries' team looked more ready than this team. I don't know about that. I mean, they had more good moments in the first few games, but they didn't put a whole game together in the first few games, just like this team hasn't. So I don't know if I agree with DeVries' team looked more ready than this team. And I don't really know how to answer your last question. Is it really all down to his son and that transfer last year? I think are you talking about Javon Small? Yes, Tucker DeVries looked pretty consistent early on outside of that Pitt game. And Javon Small looked pretty good early on and then hit his stride early in Big 12 play. No worrying yet. But there will be chances to worry coming up, because there's going to be more than bye games. There's going to be some good competition, and we'll see how that translates into what we can project for Big 12 play. Cincy Ear asks, how would you grade the performance of the team's first three games? And is there a curve because we're missing Warren Fields? So let me answer the second question first. Yes. Especially Chance Moore. I have not watched one game of Jackson Fields play basketball. Yes, he's a senior in college. Was not watching a ton of Troy basketball. Didn't watch any Troy basketball. And apparently, they made the NCAA tournament. I don't think I watched any of that game. So, I don't know anything. I watched one exhibition preseason game of Chance Moore, and I really like what I saw in that game. So more for more than Fields, grade this team on a curve. And so how would I grade the performance? So let's go A through F. Let's call the first three games a C. Like, definitely room for improvement, but definitely passing. No losses on the record, but definitely not an A and probably not a B. Maybe you could tell me B minus and that the defense has been good. I'm giving them a C, flat C for the first three games. And then Ben in Chicago, and thanks for all the questions. Try to do this on a weekly basis on the podcast. Ben in Chicago asked, well, this isn't a question, this is a statement. Thank you for doing this. I really enjoy your pods. It's a great way to keep up with the basketball team, especially when I can't catch one of the games. I'll stop there. Ben, thank you for listening. Thank you. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. Here's the question. After three games, what chance do you think we have against Pitt this week? And that gets us into the quick preview of the next game. The first three games were quizzes. The next game is a test. And it's Thursday night, Hope Coliseum, 7 p.m., Fox Sports 1. And as Ben mentioned, it's the backyard brawl. West Virginia plays Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh will most likely be 3-0 going into this game, just like WVU is. This is Pitt's first road game of the season. And they brought some guys back from last season's roster, but a lot of changes. The 7-foot twins are gone. They moved out west to different schools. So we wish the Grand Twins the best in their future endeavors. One of those Grand Twins killed us last season. I'm not on the team, killed WVU last season. And now Pitt has, they've got five guys who are either sophomores or freshmen mixed in with three seniors. And that's who they play. They play eight guys. And if you look at the numbers, Pitt's really good on the defensive side of the ball so far. Offensively, they're scoring a ton from the free throw line. And the big red flag from a statistical standpoint is Pittsburgh is getting a bunch of offensive rebounds. Two games in, but very strong on the offensive rebounding side. And as I talked about earlier, and as you've watched with the in these three games, West Virginia, not great at keeping teams from offensive rebounding or just rebounding in general. And so I think that's the stat we need to watch, Ben, on Thursday night is rebounding. Can West Virginia hang with Pittsburgh on the glass? If they can, then the crowd can be a factor. West Virginia can play their defense against Pitt, and I think West Virginia has a chance to win this game. And they're probably going to be the betting favorite based on KenPom's computer prediction. West Virginia will be the favorite going into this game, which is interesting. But if they struggle in the rebounding department and Pittsburgh gets second and third chances, that end with foul and trips to the line or kick back out for open threes. If they get a lot of opportunities like that, then that's a problem. And West Virginia will end up losing their third straight backyard brawl game. I have not watched any Pittsburgh games. Jay Kuntz is the general manager there, like the personnel guy. And the pit in my stomach is how West Virginia has fared in these situations where guys come back. I mean, even you go back to the year from you know where, Darius Nichols comes back and West Virginia loses to Radford. And Jalen Bridges leaves to go to Baylor, and Baylor comes to Morgantown and wins. It's not foolproof. West Virginia did well against Pat Sumnick last season. But for the most part, when you ask me, guys returning to WVU who's on another team or represent another team, how does that go? It hasn't gone well lately. So that's the irrational thing I'm worried about, is the Jay Coons factor. Outside of that, let's look at rebounding. Can West Virginia hang? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen to all the platforms, or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 3 wins and they have 0 losses.